Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Talking TV with my mum, the Geekdom weekly roundup review and discussion podcast. And yes, it's back to Talking TV with my mum and not with Talking Crisis with my mum, because the crisis is now over and done with and we are moving forward into a new era of superhero TV shows along with everything else. So we're back to our usual name. So I'd like to welcome you all here and welcome if you're a new listener. If you have just joined us for the first time, because as well as being available on the YouTube channel, which is where you may be listening, you may also be listening on a podcast platform, because we're out there in the world now, available on lots and lots of different platforms, from Spotify to Apple to Podchaser to Pocket Casts, you name it. There's Geekdom. Talking TV with my mum is available far and wide. So welcome. If you are listening to this through the YouTube channel, then please don't forget to hit that thumbs up button and leave us a like. That would be greatly appreciated. Also, leave your comments down below too. We like to get your feedback and know what you think about the shows we're chatting about and things like that. And there's the chance that you could get featured on the next show. And also subscribe to the channel. If you're not subscribed already, please hit that button. Please hit the notification bell, etc. And join the Kingdom of Geeks. Help us grow bigger and better in this coming year, in 2020. That would be greatly appreciated. Now, if you are listening through podcast mediums, there will hopefully be ways for you to interact with us. So I know a lot of these places have rating systems, or they have places for you to leave a review or to leave feedback or comments of some kind. So if that's the case, please do so. I would really, really appreciate that. And if for any reason there isn't, you can either contact me on Twitter, so you can just say, listen to the podcast, really enjoyed it, or didn't like it, or whatever. Or you can go over to the YouTube channel, and even if you haven't listened to the podcast through the channel, you can always drop something in the comments there as well. That would be greatly appreciated. Now, you'll also find on the YouTube channel, in my description box, the timestamps for today's episode, so you know exactly what we're talking about and when, along with a whole bunch of links. Now, these links, I'm not expecting you to do anything with. You're not under any obligation. But if you did, that would really, really mean a lot to me. They include the link to my Twitter, the link to my merch shop. So if you want to represent the Kingdom of Geeks, you can do. So go and check that out. And there are also some links there for my donation medium. So if you want to help towards the future growth of the channel, the upkeep of the podcast, all of those kind of things, then you've got two methods of which to do so. And they are either Patreon, which is patreon.com/geekdom1, which is all lowercase and all together as one word, and it's the number one. Or you can go to Ko-fi if you'd like to just buy me a coffee/drink, whatever you want to, however you want to frame it. And that is Ko-fi, so that's ko-fi.com/geekdom. And again, geekdom is all one word, all lowercase. That would be fantastic. There's also a link there for Green Man Gaming. So if you would like to buy yourself any digital games, then go through that link, and anything you buy, I will receive a small commission from the company. It's not a great deal, but you know, every little helps. And it doesn't get added to your bill or anything like that. So you're not paying extra for the games. The company pays me out of their profits based on me introducing you. So you'll be helping me while helping yourself at the same time. So there's those few things there. Now, today, we're going to be discussing The Expanse. We're going to be discussing Arrow, Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce my co-host. So hello there, Mum. Are you there?
Hello. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you too.
Can't believe we've been doing it for a year.
I know. We are one.
Yes, we are one today.
It's amazing. So feels like such a long time ago, though. It feels like longer than a year, I think.
Yes. We've had a lot of programs to talk about in the last year.
I know. It's funny, actually, because I was just looking back on the very first podcast, and it's funny what we were talking about then in relation to what we're talking about today. So back then, on the very first Talking TV with My Mum pilot episode, we talked about The Orville, we talked about Arrow, Flash, and Supergirl, and I think we also chatted about some other stuff, because I've got in the notes it says about Titans and other geeky shows. Yeah. So I think we must have done like a bit of an overview. Oh yeah, it says we discussed the first 5 episodes of Titans. So yeah, we must have that was when we chatted through back to back 5 episodes of Titans.
Yeah.
which must have been like a summary, because that podcast was only an hour and 40 minutes. So it can't have been, we can't have done a blow by blow of every episode.
But no, yeah. I think we just give it a review. Yeah, we've had some amazing stuff over the year, though, haven't we? Except for Phil, we've had hilarious Carries On with the Preacher.
Yeah.
The zany stuff in Legion.
Yes.
Lots of laughter over the whole year, really, with lots of stuff that's a bit upbeat more than
Star Trek Discovery.
Star Trek, yeah.
American Horror Story, Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead. You know, we've covered quite a lot of stuff. So if that's your thing, and like I say, you're new here, then that gives you an idea of the type of programs we cover and the type of conversations that we have. So if you're on board with that, then you're in the right place.
Yes, indeed.
And this is the beginnings of a new year. So, you know, hopefully we're going to have many more great discussions to come, and many more of you are going to be joining us, because we've not been doing too badly, Mum. Since the podcast became an audio MP3 podcast, we're out there. Like I said, I mentioned, you know, we're on Spotify.
There's a lot
now.
Of people, lots of places, isn't there?
I know. I couldn't believe, like, I mean, some of the places, like, I haven't heard of, honestly, I hadn't heard of a lot of the places, like Pocket Casts and Breaker and even Anchor FM, which if you go to anchor.fm and look for Talking TV with My Mum, there's a whole thing there with all the links to all these other places. So if you don't necessarily want to listen through there, you can click on the link and go to Spotify or whatever. I mean, you can always just go to Spotify, but there's a whole bunch of links of all the lot of different places we're available. And the same with Acast. If you go to acast.com, there's a Talking TV with My Mum website with episode links and information. And there's the links there for the Patreon. There's a link there for the merch shop, for Ko-fi, things like that. So you can find things that way as well as through the YouTube channel. But when I keep getting these like emails through to say, you've been verified, you're now on Apple Podcasts and stuff like that, you know.
iTunes.
Yeah, the fact that people can now, if they've got iPhone or whatever, they can go on and say, hey Siri, play Talking TV with My Mum, and it will play our podcast. It's just,
that's so cool.
Insane.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
I never would have envisaged this, do you know what I mean? Especially like in the space of a week.
Yeah.
That we're being like verified on all these different platforms. And we've had, what did I say to you? I think before we started recording, about 20 listens/downloads over the last week, or in just under a week.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
So that's not bad. And then obviously we're still getting the views on the YouTube version of the podcast as well. So
yeah, brilliant.
It's been a pretty successful first week. I mean, there was a downside to this week. I mean, obviously us celebrating our first birthday, we were hoping to have a guest on. We had everything lined up. We had all of the scheduling sorted, and we were going to have a guest on. We were going to be joined by your local anti-hero, who is a good friend of mine, is a fan of the show, a fellow YouTuber. And he unfortunately suffered a catastrophic break in his computer. So it means that he's now without a laptop, which is going to have an impact on his channel. And it also means that he wasn't able to join us to be a part of the podcast today. So
yeah, that was a shame.
Yeah, that sucks, because he's a big geek as well. And he's been eager to get on the show for a little while. So I said to him, look, as soon as you get sorted, we will make the arrangements and we'll make sure we get you on.
We'll get him on.
You know, just because it's not
guest two, remember, guest two.
Yes, he has. Yes.
Don't worry, right. Skippy. You're still guest one.
Yes. What did he say? Guest Dom.
So guest Dom one.
Guest Dom one will forever be Skippy. Yeah. But yeah, we will get him on in the future. And, it, you know, obviously we were going to get him on specifically today because it was a special one, but it doesn't necessarily have to be like an event podcast that we get him on. We'll just get him on as and when we're able to.
And then if anyone else out there wants to come on, just let us know.
Yes, exactly. Let me know. Send me a message on Twitter or say something in the comments or whatever if you want a guest on the show. If you're a fan of geek/nerd culture and you watch, not necessarily, it doesn't even have to be these particular shows that we're talking about, because we've mentioned before, we watch a whole bunch of other shows that we don't cover. If you're involved in that world, you know, if you're watching things like The Witcher, if you're watching Titans, you know, those kind of things, Doctor Who, Star Trek, Picard, you know, whatever it is, if you're watching these kind of programs, we're probably watching them too. So we can chat about those kind of things. It doesn't have to be, oh, well, I can't come on because I can't get involved in the review part. You know, it's, we want to talk to you about your fandom and your love of this kind of world and stuff.
Indeed.
So, yeah, so happy birthday to us.
Yay! Where's the cake?
Yeah, I asked for cake and nobody responded. I'm very disappointed with you listeners.
They didn't even send us a picture of one.
No, not a picture of a cake or anything like that. Hopefully people will listen to this and they'll send us
belated cakes.
Yeah.
Because
belated cakes are better than no cakes at all.
Exactly.
Oh dear. So yeah, so that's obviously, as I mentioned, I was going to say about the different places, so that's a mention. So like I said, iTunes, you know, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, you know, all these different places we're available for you. So there's no excuse now to not listen to Talking TV with my mum. You can download it and take us with you wherever you go.
Indeed.
I haven't really got any news or anything as such this week. I've nearly finished The Witcher, so that's cool. So I've got the last episode to watch at the weekend. Me and Zoe are going to watch that. That's been really, really cool. And obviously it's been commissioned for a second season. I heard this weird thing as well. Apparently Netflix are going to do an animated Witcher series as well as the live action series. So I don't know whether they're going to be connected in some way, okay, or whether it's just going to be a separate thing. Just they're capitalizing on how popular The Witcher has been and stuff. I don't know, but I found that was a bit weird. I was like,
I'm
not sure about that. Another thing I heard, it's not necessarily geeky as such, but it's a genre thing, but the character Clarice Starling from Silence of the Lambs.
Yes.
So they're making a TV show.
Okay.
So, you know, like they had the Hannibal TV show. Mm. They're now making a Clarice TV show, which is apparently going to be taking place after the events of Silence of the Lambs. Mm. And it's going to be following her first year as a rookie FBI agent and her dealing with the fallout of everything that she went through with Buffalo Bill and with Hannibal Lecter in the Silence of the Lambs movie.
Okay.
It doesn't appear that they're going to have Hannibal Lecter in it at the moment, but there's a chance that, you know, when it comes to the sort of the mid-season thing or whatever, they could quite easily have something in there. But I'm sure there's going to be references and things like that. But I thought that was quite interesting. I just thought I'd mention that because even though it's not, like I say, it's not geeky, it's not sci-fi and stuff, but it was interesting. I was like, I don't know. Maybe it might be all right. I'm not sure. But yeah, I don't really have much beyond that. I mean, we've got Picard starts. I think it might have already started, actually.
Started yesterday, I think.
Yeah, but we haven't had the chance to get tucked into it yet. So I'm sure we will between now and next week's podcast, so we can give some thoughts on it when we record next week. Or have you watched it already?
No, I haven't watched it.
You went silent there. You're going to go, well, I've actually seen it.
No, I was working yesterday, so I didn't get to see it.
Okay, that's fair enough. But yeah, we'll check that out and we'll give you our thoughts on that. But yeah, so I think that's pretty much everything. I have to give a shout out. So last week I did mention this and I'm going to mention it again because I'm a huge fanboy and I have to get in my weekly Kevin Smith mention. So I watched the new film last night. Me and Zoe, she got it on DVD and she brought it over and we sat and watched Jay and Silent Bob Reboot and I absolutely loved it. We weren't able to get to see it in the cinema because it only came out at select cinemas in the UK and none of them were here. So she got it pre-ordered and it arrived earlier this week. And yeah, we sat and watched it last night. And oh, mum, we laughed so much. It was so funny, but it was also really heartfelt. There was lots of sincere moments in it. And it actually did make me tear up quite a few times throughout the course of the story. Because there were some, like I said, there were some really sort of heartfelt, lovely moments. I have to say as well, I know I always, you know, blow smoke up his ass, but like Kevin Smith.
I need to know this guy you're obsessing over.
Amazing. I mean, you know, I know he has his critics and stuff like that, but I don't care. I think he's great. I love all these movies. And for somebody that has watched all of the previous movies to watch this, and it was chock full of so many references and callbacks and Easter eggs to previous films. Mm. that was the other thing me and Zoe were geeking out about, because we were like, oh my God, it's this character from this film or this. I'm not going to spoil it. I'm not going to say specifics, but it's like, oh, it's this character, or they just reference this thing. Or like, one thing I will say, because it's quite, you could miss it, but in the film Dogma, they unveil the rebranding of the Catholic Church in Dogma, and they have what's known as the Buddy Christ. And it's this statue of Jesus, and he's winking and like pointing his finger forward as if to say, hey, you sort of thing. Mm. And it's really cheesy and caricatured. And they have a little model version of that in the truck that they're in the van they're in one of the scenes. It's on the dashboard of this little Buddy Christ. And it's like, oh, it's the Buddy Christ from Dogma. So there's loads of that. There's loads of these little things that if you're a fan of what's known as the View Askew of Skewniverse, which is because View Askew is the like the banner under which all these films come under. If you're a fan of those movies, then you'll notice all these other things. But even on its own, without having that background, it's still a very funny film. And but it's relevant to mention it on this as well, not just because I'm a Kevin Smith fanboy, but because of all the nerd references, because he's a big, you know, he's not the same as us. Obviously, he's a director. He's a Hollywood star. He's got lots of money. He lives in a big fancy house. But he's at his core, he's a geek, he's a nerd. Mm. And that shows in the film, you know, from all the DC references, Marvel references, Star Wars references, you know, all of these little parodies and these little nods to other franchises. The fact that one thing I will tell you, there's a few familiar faces that cameo in this film from Supergirl.
Oh.
Because he's directed a couple of episodes of Supergirl, he obviously went, hey, look, I'm making this film. Do you want to be in it? So he got a couple of the cast of Supergirl to appear in this movie. There's other, I'm not going to say who, but there's some other big cameos from other people within that world.
Oh,
which I was like, oh my God, you know. So there was some really cool stuff. There's,
well,
like,
check this film out now.
Lots and lots of geek stuff in there, lots of fandom from, you know, nerd culture and stuff like that. And it just shows like how much he loves this culture, because he's just crammed his movie full of all of these things.
Yay, come on the show.
So good. Yeah, so I mean, if there's ever, in, you know, one in a million chance that Kevin Smith, you ever hear this podcast, it would be absolutely amazing, even if you just send us a recorded message or something, just like, you know, the chance to get to chat to you, get you on Discord and just have a bit of a chat with you, even if you've got like spare 5 minutes in your busy schedule or whatever, it'd be amazing. But
yeah,
I know the chances of that happening are slim to none, but you know,
never give up hope.
It would be awesome. It would just be so cool. And I'm not going to spoil it, I'm not going to say what it is, because I want people to experience it for themselves. But there is a moment, and it's at the very end of the film as well, it's after the actual film ends, and it's to do with a cameo that never made it into the film for particular reasons. And it really got me. It really like emotionally affected me.
Okay.
Because the person is no longer with us. So I won't say who, I won't say what or anything like that. You've got to watch it for yourselves. But it really, like, it was a bit of a, it was a shocking, I wasn't expecting to see this moment. And then the background to like why it never made it into the film and stuff like that is just kind of like, oh, that's so sad. But again, I will say it's geekdom related, you know, not geekdom as in me. I mean, like within the geek world.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so good though. Yeah. Bravo, Kevin Smith. You did a great job. And I personally think he should have been Oscar nominated, because I think it was amazing. But what's great about it as well is the film is so self-aware. The comedy is so self-aware, because they know exactly what they're doing, and it's written because it's called Jay and Silent Bob Reboot. And it is basically the same movie as they made years ago when they did Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back, which was, the premise is basically Hollywood are making a film about their characters, but they're not a part of it. So they're like, wait, they can't do this. This is us. This is about us. This is, you know, we are those characters. We haven't given permission. Why are we not in this film? You know, whatever. And so they're basically trying to stop it from happening. And that's the same storyline in this one. It's like, but it's saying, Hollywood loves to reboot things. Hollywood loves to do remakes of things. So this is all about them going, remember that old film that they did all those years ago? Yeah, well, apparently somebody's doing a remake of it. And it's like, well, it's not a remake, it's a reboot, where it's like the same, but it's slightly different. And they change up some of the actors and they bring in, you know, more ethnic diversity and form more female representation to make up for the way that Hollywood used to be years ago and all this kind of, and it's so self-aware and so much taking the piss out of Hollywood and what Hollywood does when it comes to like milking old franchises and stuff like that. And it's just so funny.
Mm.
It's just so clever. I'm just like sat there going, this is so clever, because they know exactly, you know, it's all so knowingly done. Mm. It's such well-crafted, knowing comedy. And I just loved all the layers to it, you know, and it was just, yeah, it was really, really good. And that's enough of that. I just keep talking about this film like for ages, but yeah, I'm not going to. So go and check it out for yourselves. I recommend it. Like I said, go and watch it if you're a fan of his previous movies. If you've seen Mallrats and Clerks and Chasing Amy and Dogma and Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back and, you know, all these other films. If you've seen them, go and watch this. If you're a fan of just Kevin Smith in general, go and watch this. If you're a fan of comedy and geek culture, go and watch this. Go and watch it for the cameos alone, if nothing else. It's just so good.
Yep. Okay, I'll check it out. I'll day off today, so I'll check it out.
So there we go. So that's enough of that. That's enough of me.
On your soapbox.
On my soapbox and you know, giving a gushing review to Kevin Smith. So we're now going to move on and we're going to get to the meat and potatoes of the podcast, and we're going to start talking about the shows. We're going to start with The Expanse, which came back for its fourth season.
Yep.
Obviously, all the episodes are out there because it's at Amazon, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they released all the episodes. They did a Netflix. They released all of the episodes in one go. But we're going to be doing it as a weekly show review. So we're going to talk about it not as in its entirety. We're going to talk about it week by week. Plus, it's quite a complicated sci-fi show. So I think us trying to summarize the whole thing wouldn't really be doing it justice.
No. It's not like the others. It's a lot to it.
Yeah. So this is season four, first episode called New Terror. And not terror as in scary, as in terror as in terra firma, Earth, T-E-R-R-A.
Right.
So yeah, what did you think? Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, good. Obviously, I sort of like watched the end of the season three just to double check what was going on.
Yeah.
So we started with the solar ring they found at the end, which was... Eros is it Eros that caused this ring?
Yeah, the Eros incident.
At the beginning of the episode, we saw a ship heading towards the ring. It was apparently a refugee ship that was being pursued into the ring, and it got in. Basically,
they were belters, weren't they?
Yeah, the belters that got. They thought, right, there's something. Got to be something good in there, so they went in it.
Yeah.
So we then, after that happened, we then went 8 months later, and we were at the United Nations.
Yeah.
I can never remember the guy who's the main man on the ship.
Holden.
Holden, that's it. Holden. Mm. Yeah, so we had him. He was chatting to his real mum, wasn't he? He'd been given some leave after what had happened. But he was still seeing the ghost guy. What's his name? I can't remember his name now. The guy with the hat.
My mind's gone blank. Because obviously it's him, but it's not him, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, basically, it was the guy that ended up on Eros when it crashed.
Yeah.
As we go on through this season, we'll probably remember his name again. But yeah, so he's still with him, even though we thought that was the end of him after last season.
Yeah.
And he wants them to go through the ring.
Yeah.
Actually, go into it. So he's gone off to see. Is she the like head of the United Nations? Croaky voice.
She is now. Yeah, she's now. She wasn't, but after the events of everything that happened, like last season and stuff, she's now the UN Secretary General.
Yeah,
the lady you like to call. What do you like to call her, Mum?
Croaky voice woman.
Yes.
So he's gone to see her to ask her permission for them to go on through the ring, and we also get to see the rest of the gang, all his buddies, which is Alex.
Mm-hmm.
Naomi and
Amos,
yeah. That's it.
We like Amos.
And there was another girl that was they'd worked with. She's still on the other ship, isn't she? I can't remember her name though.
The Belter one?
No,
Bobby?
No.
Do you mean Bobby, the Martian
no, I don't
soldier?
Think it was Bobby. Was it Bobby? I don't know. One that they caught up, they had tied up that time, Juliet from Offer Lost. Remember they said she was a threat?
Oh, that
she was the one that they were going to blow up the ship. They thought she was a buddy.
She was the daughter of what's his name, Mao, the bad guy. Yeah. That was her sister Julie was the one in the very first episode, wasn't it? And we didn't know who she was to begin with because she was using a different identity.
Yeah,
is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
And then she revealed she was actually Julie Mao's sister.
Yeah,
and she had this nefarious plan, which ended. Now she's now in prison because we got to see. Is that you on about when Amos was talking to her?
Yeah, Amos. Had
yeah,
a
yeah.
Chat with her, didn't
and
he?
She
yeah.
was in prison, and she was allowed like a video call with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. So that was that. Croaky voice woman has taken no rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said they have to go through the ring, and the planet that is apparently found in the middle of it is called Illus.
Yes.
And the Belters have gone there and set up life, basically.
And what did they say? It was rich with lithium deposits.
Lithium, yeah. And they were worried it was going to be another Eros. It was going to be another one that was going to suddenly go wrong.
Because there was a lot of controversy, wasn't there? Because there was people saying about them going there to evict them. And she's like going, I am less concerned with the Belters being there. I'm more concerned with what else might be there.
Yeah, exactly.
And they had the scans thing, and that showed some weird structures.
Yes.
And they were worried that it might be to do with the proto molecule.
Yeah.
And that's why she's worried about it being another Eros incident. Yeah. It's not necessarily that people have settled there. It's the fact that there is evidence.
What was on there in the first place, yeah.
Yeah, that there are these structures that they know about now, that there was this alien species that created the rings and created the proto molecule. So if there's evidence of that civilization on this planet, what else could there be there? There could be danger. And that's why she wants Holden and the Rossi crew to go there and check it out. She doesn't want them to go there and like turf out all of the Belters.
No. Yeah.
Even though some of the UN wanted that, didn't they? They were like, oh yeah, they shouldn't be there. We need to get them off world and all this lot. But that's not her concern at the moment.
No. So we also saw Bobby, the Martian girl. She's back on Mars at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Living with her nephew, apparently.
Yeah.
So whether he'll come into play in it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And as Alex, the pilot on the Rossi, is keeping in touch with her.
Yeah.
And then we had the old guy, Ashford, he's a Belter, isn't he, on the the main ship. Their ship is now the ship that keeps an eye on the ring.
Mm-hmm.
So other ships don't go in it.
Yeah.
I got a bit confused. There was a point when Naomi on the Rossi was getting jabs by Holden. Is she sick or is this because she's not human, is she?
She's a Belter.
She's a Belter. And they don't know what it's like on a planet.
Yeah,
life,
and this was one of the things they talked about was the risks that the Belter refugees went through, not only to try and like get through the blockade that they've got set up around the ring, but also by going to a planet, because Belters, just a brief background.
They live underground, don't they, really?
No, they live because they live just in space, don't they? They live on space stations.
They've never been on a place with like a sun and a light.
No, because they are the descendants of humans and Martians that were colonizing further out into the solar system. And so you've got children that were born in space. So their body, their like genetic structure and stuff is built for space. It's not built for gravity on planets and stuff. So when they're on a planet, it can cause sickness, it can cause a lot of pain, it can cause broken bones, you know, all of these kind of terrible things. So in order to try and avoid that, she's been undergoing like a drug treatment to try and change her genetic composition so that she can actually go onto planets without it having that sort of painful effect and basically crippling her.
So we had the fact that they were going to go, and we had another bit with Ashford from the main ship. He was like teasing the inners,
because
they kept asking him for
his
code or something,
and
he just wouldn't tell them, and he just did it just to wind them up. It's just like, you need us, you can't be mean to us, because we're the lookouts, basically. That was amusing. But then we had this other ship, and this other ship with all these people on it, and then when they entered the atmosphere of the planet, it started destroying the ship.
Yeah, so this was the Edward Israel, and it was a Royal Charter Energy Group who'd been granted a charter from Earth to go to what they're calling New Terra. So the Belters are calling it Illus, but the Martian human, like the Martian Earth Coalition are calling it New Terra. Okay. And they were being sent there probably to do not just exploration, but to like mine lithium and stuff like that.
All right.
And so when they started their descent to the planet, something, yeah, like you said, it's like they came under attack and stuff. Like, I thought they were being shot at or something, like gunfire or something that was like piercing the ship. And it caused the pressure to get ripped out because obviously they holes appeared in the hull and it started ripping pieces of the ship out. Mm. And people, that bit when the girl, she was sat holding somebody's hand next to her. And then she looked and the whole side of the ship that the seat had been on was gone.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, my God. And we had Owen from Torchwood.
Oh, that's who he was. I recognised his face. I didn't know.
I mean, he's been in a whole ton of other stuff.
His face, though, he's so familiar. And I thought, oh, I didn't Google him to check who he was. But I, thought, I know this guy from somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, he was in Game of Thrones as well. He's been in a whole bunch of other, like.
Who hasn't been in Game of Thrones?
He's been in other sci-fi stuff. He's been in, like, thriller, like detective drama-y things.
Yeah, yeah.
He's done tons of stuff. But yeah, I was like, straight away, I just went, hey, it's the guy from Torchwood.
Another geek program.
And he's like is he a scientist or something, or a doctor or something like that?
But he was in charge of the mission, wasn't he, as well?
Yeah.
So we had him, and they were getting, they weren't happy, were they? Because obviously they thought they were there to, again, try and take them off the planet.
Mm.
And there was a bit of animosity, wasn't there, amongst them?
Yeah.
And then while they were sort of sorting all that out, then our guys, they landed. I like the way they landed. That was sort of the way they, where they landed their ship.
Mm.
And they had sort of like a big like walkway, didn't they? But the ship was sort of like nose down, and then they just sort of walked off.
Yeah.
It was like they were down in a crevice, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. And obviously Naomi sort of like, whoa, what's this? Luckily, I thought that's what the jobs were for, to keep her like, you're going to be all right. It's like, oh, I'm a bit dizzy. So they obviously made their way towards the place they were all staying.
Yeah.
And they're again, hostile. Who are you? We're not leaving. Blah, blah, blah. And then before they had any chance to say much, really, they start getting attacked by something. It was all like a swarm or something.
Yeah.
And it started attacking them all.
And it was like ripping through people. And they were like, quick, take cover. And there was just this, these small things just like killing people, a lot of them. They
sort of mowed down.
But then what was weird was when it passed and it flew off into the distance and they all stood back up and they were looking. And then did he pick it up off the ground or was it in him?
No, it was on the ground.
It was on the ground. He picked it up. But the thing is, it looked like a piece of metal.
Yeah, it was metal and magnetic.
So it wasn't like a living thing.
No.
So this swarm was like a swarm of metal. But
when it first came towards them, it looked like sort of like locusts or whatever.
Yeah.
But obviously, once it had gone, it sort of like attacked and then this left, it flew away again, didn't it?
So, I mean, based on
some sort of magnetic thing.
Based on what we know just from this episode, the fact that there's these alien structures, I would bet good money on whatever these things are is connected to that somehow.
But yeah, so we'll now have to find out.
It was good, though, because we got enough of a little sort of like, here's the kind of events that happened previously, and this is now, and here's a check-in with all of our core characters. Like you said, even the, you know, the Belter guy, the old bloke that's the ship captain.
And the girl. Obviously,
yeah, drummer. Drummer. That was cool. She was like, she'd obviously been somewhere and she was in an airlock, wasn't she? And she's like, I love, and like, we talked before about their weird patois that they speak.
Oh, they're lovely. Weird, so Jamaican.
It's like Jamaican, Japanese, Cockney sort of weird.
It's great. I love their voices. It's awesome. It must be great being an actor to learn that.
Yeah, like, yeah, we've got this new language and this is how you've got to speak. And you've got to kind of do a Jamaican accent, but with a kind of Japanese twist, but also with the kind of Cockney sort of rhyming slang type thing in there. It's like it's very unusual.
It's very unusual.
But yeah, I do like the way they talk to each other and stuff. And yeah, they had a bit of a catch up.
Got to see most of them, didn't you? Saw everybody.
Yeah, but Drummer's been promoted, hasn't she? Because she's now, that ship they had last year that got taken over by the proton molecule, if I remember, was the OPA ship, the Behemoth.
Yeah.
And she's now the captain of that ship.
Yep.
And not only that, but it's the only human ship that is stationed within the ring. So it's a warship and it's there, I suppose, to prevent threats from either side.
Yeah.
Because you got all this stuff on the outside. There's all these, like, almost like police, like, you know, it's like a blockade. They've got other ships, like, where you have to have the verification codes. And then inside the ring space, which is this weird kind of fluid space between universes.
Yep.
They've got structures. There are space stations and mining, like refueling stations and stuff. And then you've got this big battleship in there as well, which she's in charge of.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So it's really interesting.
She deserves it after what she went through last season.
Oh, God, I know.
She died.
Yeah,
she nearly sacrificed herself. So, you know, power to them. But yes, that's quite cool. So we got them on the outside, like policing it, because obviously after what happened on Eros, no, we're not just letting anybody willy-nilly go through there.
Yeah.
Somebody did. So now they have had to send somebody in to see why, what's there, because there is a planet of some sort through the ring.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very good. Like I say, they just reconnected with everybody. So even without...
And the guy, it was Miller.
Miller. Oh, Miller, that's his name.
Yeah. So Thomas Jane, Miller, who was in the very first season, was a police officer. He was a Martian police officer, wasn't he? And he got embroiled in all of this mystery to do with Julie Mao and this weird disappearance in the space station, which led to all the stuff with the proto molecule and the creatures and the aliens and the ring.
Yep.
But he died, or, well, kind of, he sort of became something else. And then somehow, like, went into Holden's mind, and then Holden can see him, but no one else can see him. But it's not like Holden's not, like, crazy. He is seeing him, but how he's seeing him and what he is, we don't really know. But then he left him, didn't he? Because when they went through the ring, he had that bit when he was like, you know, because
he had other business, didn't he?
And he sort of thanked him, didn't he? He said, thank you for coming through here and bringing me here. And then he was like, I'll see you soon, kid. And he sort of just disappeared. Like, he's gone now. He's left him for now.
He's got his own business.
That's been an ongoing sort of weird sci-fi mystery that, as the show progresses, you know, we'll get more. I mean, we know it's been renewed for a fifth season, so
yes,
we'll get more of this as it goes along. But yeah, very good start. Very good, solid sci-fi. It's one of the best gritty sci-fi TV shows in years.
So clever.
And it's so complicated. You really have to pay attention to it, don't you?
Yeah, you do. Yeah. But yeah, good start. So looking forward to next week.
Yeah. But I just love, I love the characters as well. The dynamic of them all, you know, like Naomi's quite likable, and I like Amos is great, the mechanic. And I like Alex, the pilot. And I mean, Holden, I'm not a massive fan of Holden, even though he's like the hero. He's probably...
There's not much to him. He's called one dimensional, isn't
he? Yeah, he's just the stereotypical brooding hero character.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's okay as a character and an actor and stuff, but I find some of
the others are more interesting.
I like the crazy old man, the belter captain guy.
The belter guy, yeah, Ashford.
Ashford, yeah, and I like drummer and stuff, you know, so, and obviously our croaky voice lady. What's her name? Christian,
that's it.
I can never say what her surname is.
I can't remember the rest of her name.
Avasrala or something. I don't know.
It doesn't matter. And we have our feisty Martian soldier.
And Bobby, who's very frustrated by the fact that she's alone. Like, now they're all out there. She was basically forced to retire from military service. There was that interesting conversation she had as well about, like, keeping your uniform shiny, because you never know when a war's going to break out again. And if it does, they're going to be looking for every available person. So she's like not relaxed. She's not like, oh, I'm retired now, I can relax. She's like itching to get back
she's
out
still
there.
She's still waiting.
Waiting for something to inevitably happen. Yeah.
Yeah, all good though.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Definitely, definitely recommend it. If you haven't seen The Expanse, check it out. Very, very good sci-fi, well worth your time.
Yeah.
Right, let's move on to more comic book related stuff, and let's talk about the world that we're now in after the events of Crisis.
Yes.
And we get this week's episode of Arrow, which was a what they call a backdoor pilot. Now, we still don't have confirmation as to whether or not this is actually going to become a series, but this was episode 9, Green Arrow and the Canaries. What did you think of this?
I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah?
Yeah. You did enjoy it, didn't you?
I enjoyed parts of it.
Right, so we started off the episode, there was a motorbike.
Yeah.
There was a rave, like a rave or a party going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing we spotted, the person on the motorbike was Laurel. And I thought, oh, that's cool, Laurel.
But not Laurel, like, it was Laurel as we know her. It's like the Laurel from the current timeline, which is interesting. But yeah, carry on.
And she had gone specifically to find some girl called Bianca and told her life was in danger. The girl was like, just leave me alone. I'm not interested. And she was like carried on partying. And then some goons got hold of her. So Laurel then had to chase after them. But yep. She lost her.
Mm-hmm.
And then it came up on the screen, Star City 2040. So it's 20 years in the future.
So then what's interesting there is you go, wait, we've seen an older version of Laurel in 2040. This is not that version. This is the version from the current timeline that is somehow 20 years in the future.
Yeah. So she's obviously time travel, doesn't she?
Mm-hmm.
And then we saw Mia, which is Oliver's daughter.
Yeah.
Waking up next to a dude, which we then realised was JJ, who was AKA Deathstroke.
Yeah.
From the previous series episodes.
Yeah.
She was checking the news about what was going on. He proposed to her because it was the day of her graduation and she said yes. So she is all happy and thinking, well, okay, she's all like normal.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went back to Laurel. We've gone into a bar where there was some woman singing, playing the piano, and it turned out the woman playing the piano and the owner of this bar was Dina. I put it's a sexy Dina.
Yeah.
She looked quite nice, didn't she?
Curly hair and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. And apparently she said that nobody remembered her as the policewoman or the canary. Basically, that person no longer exists, so she's like there, but no one remembers who she is.
Yeah, now this is weird. And she also said about how the last thing she remembered was Oliver's funeral, and then she woke up on the floor of this building with no idea how she got there. But yet, like you said, when she looked into stuff to do with herself, she never existed, like, ever.
No.
It's not like she only existed 20 years ago and now she's no longer around. It's like there's no records of her.
Yes, her whole existence has been wiped.
That's a mystery that they've already added, which if it does become a series, it will probably explore how is Dinah in the future and why does she not exist? Is that as a result of crisis that somehow changed things and that's why she's sort of like there, but she shouldn't be there because everything was rewritten, you know? So that was interesting. I thought that was interesting. And we also found out the reason as well that Laurel was there was because of Sarah.
Yes.
And that she had time traveled. So the reason she is the one that we recognize from 20 years ago is because it is that one. Sarah brought her there, presumably on the Wave Rider. Because there was an incident in the future and it involved Mia and stuff like that. And so she needed to be there to prevent certain things from happening.
Yeah. And it all started with this girl, this socialite, apparently.
Who, and you know who she is? Did you work out who she actually was?
No.
Right, so she's Bianca, as you said, and her surname is Bertinelli. So Bertinelli, as they said later on in the episode as well, the Bertinellis were a crime syndicate that Oliver dealt with in Arrow.
Okay.
But the other thing about them was that their daughter of the Bertinelli family, Helena, was the vigilante Huntress.
Oh, okay.
Because then they had the whole thing with the Huntress, who was kind of like a female version of Arrow. She had a bow and all this kind of stuff. Mm. And then they discovered the fact that she was actually Helena Bertinelli, but she hated the fact that her family were a crime syndicate. And so she was trying to take them down, even though she was related to them.
All right.
And this is her daughter. So whatever happened to Helena, we don't know. Because in Arrow, I think she just left town.
Right.
Never to return again. But her daughter's now here. And so all those little kind of Easter eggs and connections and callbacks to stuff in Arrow. So that was interesting.
Yeah, so she showed Dinah a year ahead in the future what's going to happen.
And it's like Star City and flames and stuff.
Yeah, because she said, we don't had no crime in this city for 20 years, didn't they say?
Yep.
And I said, And they said, they needed somebody else. So obviously, it was Mia they obviously were going to look for.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to the party she was having for her graduation, and we saw William and Zoe. Zoe alive.
Yeah.
Mm.
And Connor.
Yes.
Who seems to be a bad guy.
Well, yeah, because I put Mia's now a socialite, but Smoke Tech beckons.
And also, she's Mia
not
Queen.
Interested. Mm. Yeah, she's Mia Queen. She's not interested in going to Smoke Tech.
Mm-hmm.
And Connor is out of rehab, so he's obviously done something happened to him.
So again, that's interesting because in the world before Crisis, JJ was the bad guy and Connor was a good guy. But now JJ is a good guy and Connor is like drug addict, criminal, whatever he is, you know?
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? The role reversal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the girl that got kidnapped is a best friend of Mia.
Yeah.
But anyway, Laurel and Dinah have arrived at the party and she doesn't know who they are.
Yeah, which was weird.
And they told her they needed her to help them, but she's like, oh, wait, I don't know who you are. Leave me alone. So Laurel had to do the Jean thing.
Yeah, she had a ring.
Yeah.
And she had this ring and she put it on her, like on the side of her head, and then overloaded Mia's memories with everything that we know.
Yeah.
So seeing her training with Nyssa, the fact that Oliver died, being there, the crisis, Deathstroke, living in the future 2040 when it was like a crime-ridden city, all of this kind of stuff.
Yeah, so
and
stuff
also
and Zoe
JJ.
Dying. JJ and Zoe. JJ being a baddie and Zoe dying.
So then when obviously she felt funny and they were all like crowding around her, when JJ went to comfort her, she pulled away from him.
Yeah.
Because she's now had all these memories restored.
Yeah. And we found out how she did it because it was thanks to Sisko.
Who had used John's powers, his Martian powers, and managed to replicate it into a device so that they're able to return people's memories if they need to.
Sisko always gets in there.
I love the little thing as well, like if you've never seen these shows before, when Dinah went, so a friend of Supergirl's teamed up with the friend of the Flashes to create this device.
So it's like, we're gonna make sure everyone knows who they all are.
So,
yeah, and she was really confused, wasn't she? And then they told her she was the Green Arrow.
Yeah.
And she didn't know what they was on about. But she sort of did. And then goes, I don't want to be the Green Arrow, but I'll help you this time once only.
Yeah.
And that's it. So they'd gone to visit the parents of the girl, the Bertinelli's. Bertinelli's. Isn't that a pasta?
Yeah.
a brand of pasta.
The Bertolli or something.
Oh, yeah. Nearly. So, yeah, she'd gone to see them so that Dinah could get in and get into the building to bug it.
Mm-hmm.
So she had to distract the parents.
Yeah.
Not like a wine over or something. Now, they didn't speak to the cousin. I thought it was the brother at the time, but I thought, he looks dodgy, that haircut.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be something ominous about him. I was going to write it down, then I crossed it out, but obviously I should have kept it in because eventually he came into play again, didn't he?
Yeah.
So they bugged the building, and did they go then back to, they went to another place, didn't they? Another drinks party. Was it the same place? Did they go back to the graduation place because Laurel was enjoying the free bar? Oh, no, she was enjoying the free bar at Dinah's bar, wasn't she?
Yeah, no, and what's weird is the place that Dinah lives, so she's got this like apartment above the bar, and it's got all like cocks. Yeah, like the old like clock tower thing that was in the early days of Arrow stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like the place that Oliver had his club, didn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah, so poor old Dinah, no one remembers her. And I just love Laurel's sarcasm. It was just hilarious.
Mm.
She was just like, I like Laurel. I'm glad it was that Laurel.
Yeah.
Because her character is awesome.
Well, yeah, this is one of the other interesting mysteries they've got going forward. I mean, whether they'll address it next week in the finale of Arrow, but like this is Earth 2 Laurel still. So even though her reality, so obviously they remade reality, everything's been rebooted, Earth 2 is now a different Earth 2, but this version of Laurel is still around.
Yeah,
so it's like, how is that possible? Like, how is she still that version of Laurel from Earth 2 that used to be, that was a villain and then became a good guy? And, you know, it's like, so there's question marks around that as well.
Yeah. So they got some intel about the cousin of the girl going missing, and they wanted her to suit up in the Oliver's suit, which is now her suit. But she said she didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
So they went, oh, cool motorbike, so.
Yeah.
So yeah. So they intercepted him, her cousin Logan, and there was a big fight. And they said, oh, we'll keep them busy and you go and get what we needed out of that car. See if the girl's in the car.
Yeah.
She'd gone to do that. Some guy attacked her and then obviously she went full arrow mode, didn't she, and stopped fighting him.
Yeah.
But there's no girl in it, but there were some green drugs in it.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, what are these? And then they, was that when they, something, they let off some spark, didn't they? So it's sort of a flash, but in the background they could see Deathstroke.
Yeah, that's right. And it was like, oh.
So they couldn't get the drugs, obviously, because they did that to stop them getting it.
Yeah.
Like Deathstroke. Oh.
Mm.
So, yeah, so we had all the stuff for Mia being to prove it's not JJ, saying, right, if you don't think it's him, it's Deathstroke. She told her all about Deathstroke, said they got to go and find out if it's him or not.
Yeah.
So they went, then they went to the drinks party, the separate thing.
Mm-hmm.
They had to go, they had to find a device or something.
Yeah.
Laurel was trying to get past the guard, but he wouldn't let her get past, and Mia used her charm and got
Know how she did it, because she was like, leave me to this. And she was like, oh, if you, I can't get through there. This, how are you going to get through there? And she went, oh, and she just, the next thing, the guy just lets her through.
Yeah. So she had to get on the PC or something, but while she was doing it, some alert came up to sort of, I was obviously told the security that somebody had hacked the computer.
Yeah.
And then JJ turned up.
Because obviously she was trying to find out whether he was Deathstroke again now. And then what it turned out, the secret files that he had were actually to do with their plans he had for their honeymoon.
And he'd obviously set up an alert so no one could get to them, so he didn't get to see it. But there was also, there was a video of Bianca somewhere exotic. He said, look, she's fine.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with me. She's here. But obviously she's doubted him now, hasn't she? Because she questioned him and claimed it was him.
And he broke up with her, didn't he?
Yeah.
Because he was like, you know, the way she's acting and all this kind of, and they can't trust him and all this. And he said, I don't think this is, we should carry on seeing each other and everything. And they, yeah, they also looked into the video. Turns out the video was faked. So they were like, okay, so she's not where it's making out she is in this video.
No.
So they went about tracking her down and they found this abandoned building. And this time she suited up, didn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, and she got in her arrow costume and stuff, and that was pretty cool.
And the guy that was there was, oh, because earlier on at the party, at the graduation, William had obviously got friendly with some guy called Trevor, and she said, what's happened? Oh, no, it didn't work out.
Yeah.
So this guy called Trevor apparently was the guy that was the baddie, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was the Deathstroke, wasn't he?
And he'd used the Deathstroke mask. It was him.
Yeah.
So now they have to deal with him.
So basically, that bit, there was
a big comment. He made a comment. So, yeah, there was a fight. But then after that fight, he said, she won't let you.
Yeah, like whoever's behind, there's a bigger thing going on, and it's a female that's behind it all. So it's like, again, that's another mystery. If they do go to series, you've also got the mystery of, like, who's the villain that's pulling all the strings.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love what I really liked about this bit. Again, it's something Arrow's always done really well. Really good fight sequences. And then they, when they got out of there, they then came down off the roof and it all exploded and they're like zip lining down and you've got this big explosion behind them. It was awesome.
And then they're holding on to that poor girl at the same time, weren't they? Because they found her, didn't they?
Yeah.
She's like, oh, no, this is crazy. And she punched somebody at one point during the fight, didn't she?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, I got a punch in.
After escaping this exploding building and going down a zipwire, she stopped and she brushed herself down and looked and she went, who the hell are you bitches? And they all just stood. They struck a sort of superhero pose. Like stood there in their costumes and stuff.
So then Mia went back to see JJ and made up with him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Orcs.
Hmm.
Laurel had to sleep over at Diners and said it was a base. This could be a base for the Canaries.
And she went, Canaries? And she said, yeah, you know, and said about basically being a thing for other young women. And it's interesting as well, because that's picking up on the thing that they discussed before, like before Crisis, about setting up a Canary network and stuff like that. So again, it's something that they'll maybe do. They'll make this into an organization. So they planted the seeds for that.
Yeah. And there was, wasn't that, there were headline on the computer saying, in the future, Mia fails the city.
Yeah, so they were like, that's why Laurel's going to stick around, because even though they did this, they saved Bianca and stuff, but that hasn't changed. Like, the timeline hasn't changed yet. There's still going to be a big catastrophe that's going to befall the city, so she needs to stay there in order to help prevent that from happening, sort of thing.
So then we had a little bit with William and Maya having a little chat about everything, and then...
at Oliver's statue.
Yeah, the statue of Oliver, and she asked him if he still had the arrow rock thing.
Yeah.
And then she looked at the symbols on the thing and said that was a tattoo on that guy.
Because they noticed that during the fight with Trevor, that he had this same, like, Chinese symbol sort of things tattooed on his wrist.
She didn't realise what the relevance was until she looked at the arrow thing.
So that's interesting as well, because there's a connection to Lian Yu. So it makes you wonder, is the Shi going to end up being Shadow or something? Like, is Shadow... because I know Shadow died, but that was in the reality before Crisis. So... yeah. Is Shadow back and Shadow's now a bad guy and she's the one that's behind all of this? Is that what the link is with the Lian Yu rock and the writing and all of that kind of stuff?
Maybe. But then they got darted, didn't they? And the moon got taken away and she just collapsed. And then we saw JJ and he got attacked as well and someone needs him to remember.
That was weird. Yeah, a hooded figure with a purple ring, similar kind of ring to Laurel's, but purple. And then he made him remember everything. And now he knows he was Deathstroke. He was a villain. He killed Zoe. All of this kind of stuff. So all of his memories from the world before have also been restored to him.
Well, I was confused because at the beginning of it, it said starring Stephen Amell and he wasn't in it.
Well, it's because it's Arrow, I suppose. That's just part of the normal. Because they also had like Diggle's name and stuff like that on there. But
oh yeah, probably they don't change it all. I thought, oh, is that him? Is that going to be him? I was waiting at the end going, he's going to appear to them when they were at the statue, thinking something's going to happen, he's going to appear and we know he's not dead. And I went,
So on one hand, there were things about this that were good, but there were other parts I was just zoning out. I was like, oh, it's pretty formulaic. Let's go and let's try and crack this case and solve a mystery and, you know, all of this stuff. I don't know. It just felt a bit. But then there were other moments where I was like, oh, this is interesting. Or this plot point could be interesting. And after me saying, I don't know whether we need a spin-off show in the future, I'm now going, well, this made me a little bit more interested in the idea of it, because they put in a lot of little plot threads that they could pick up on going into a series. And by the looks of it, it's basically going to continue Arrow with all the characters apart from Stephen Amell.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to allow, you know, Dinah. I mean, because they mentioned, although he wasn't in it, they mentioned your friend Road Dog.
Yeah, Renee.
Renee is the mayor still. Yeah. So he's still around. You've got all the kids of all of the heroes. You've got Dinah and Laurel. The only weird thing is the fact that they mentioned Felicity and they mentioned Thea. But where are they? Why weren't they there for her graduation and things like that? Are they alive? Are they dead? You know, it's all, that was all a bit strange.
20 years in the future. And we had because she's supposed to appear at some point, isn't she? She not going to appear to the end of the Arrow season?
Who?
Felicity.
Oh, yeah, no, she's in next week's episode, yeah.
Okay. Oh, you know that for a fact.
Yeah, because they made it clear, didn't they? They said she was returning for the finale, so...
But she should have been at the graduation, shouldn't
That's
she?
That's the weird thing. It's like, what, in this timeline, in 20 years in the future, is she not around anymore or what? And where's Diggle?
Yeah.
In all of this. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, part of me is like, I am intrigued by it, but there was also a lot of it that I was just like, it wasn't the best episode. There was a lot of like, a lot of the lifestyles of the rich and famous kind of stuff with all of the, oh, look at us all pretty people at these parties and all of this kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. Yeah, so we have to wait and see.
I don't know. So it's like, it was a 50-50 episode for me, personally.
Yeah. I mean, it was different and there was a bit of interest in it. But like I say, going forward, we'll see you next week, won't we? So
we will indeed. But yeah. Oh, just a quick mention. One of the other shows affected by the crisis, Batwoman. Yeah, we said hopefully Batwoman will get better. Yeah, no. It was still it went back to its normal. There was things in there they mentioned, like you had the they have this like voiceover that's like from the news in like nearly every episode where they're like, certain things happening in Gotham City and blah, blah, blah. And they were like, it was like, you know, the world still is reeling from the death of Oliver Queen and all of this, you know, so there was mention of that. When she spoke to, what's his name, Luke, she talked about being a paragon and all of this stuff. So there were lots of little references to Crisis.
Yeah, but nothing concrete.
But then like, it was just like, oh, let's carry on with our story, you know.
A little bit like with Black Lightning. Same, wasn't it? Yeah.
But it's like, you know, my father's been put in prison. My stepmother is dead. My crazy sister is crazy still and all this kind of stuff. But they did throw something in that I'm now like, okay, maybe it will start getting a bit more interesting, because I'll tell you, because you're unlikely to watch it. So there was a bit where there was some sightings of Alice. People had seen Alice and they called it in and stuff. But when they went to where she was apparently supposed to be, nobody could find her. And then at the very end, Kate returns to the Wayne Enterprises office and there's a woman waiting in the office and she turns around and it's Alice. And she runs towards her and like grabs her by the throat. And she's like, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm here because it's our birthday. And she's like, why are you? You shouldn't be here. How did you escape this, that and the other? And she's like, what are you talking about? And she's like, you got caught and like blah, 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 all this, that and the other. And you've got some nerve showing up here and this, that. And she's like, Kate, it's me. It's Beth. And then she goes, what? And steps back. Ooh. And it's like, it's her twin sister, as if she never disappeared and never ended up never being found and becoming Alice. This is, so now there are two versions of her sister in the city. There is the existing timeline. She, you know, was missing. She grew up and turned into a crazy homicidal maniac. But then you've got this other version who clearly that never happened. So that was like, and so this is clearly, this is going to be like connected to Crisis. It's like, so she another,
that's
another
changed
Earth
something
or
because
something
of that,
yeah. So that was interesting. That very last couple of minutes of the episode was interesting and I was like, this could potentially get better. But the rest of the episode itself was just like, it's just the usual. So another show that was dealing with the fallout from Crisis that was much, much better was episode 10 of Supergirl, entitled The Bottle Episode. Now, the wording of this episode is interesting on two levels, because on one level, it's something to do with the episode, but also a bottle episode is normally within TV shows where they've had like a big story or something, and it's like the next episode afterwards will be like a self-contained story.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what it was. So it was like sort of, you know, Crisis is over. This is like a story now of Supergirl. It's not carrying on with all the other characters, but it was still dealing with the fallout of that. But it also worked on another level as well. So yeah, so that being said, so what did you think of this week's episode of Supergirl?
Well, it was really strange because at the beginning we had an advert for the DEO, which had Lex in it, Supergirl in it, Lena in it as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But I don't think any of them had been involved in the advert.
No, yeah.
Because Kara and Alex were discussing it, weren't they?
I don't know. I think maybe they were, but it was one of those, like, Supergirl has... It was under duress. Like, she's did this advertisement, but she had to do it because she worked.
But they showed Lena in it, and they showed Lena not being very happy with Lex.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that because they're part of a... You know, they've got to put on a show for the public, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah. So we had all the thing about Kara again wanting to tell the truth to Lena. And then we saw Lena with her ghost of Lex.
Well, yeah, because we got a little bit the fact that all of the Supergirl crew now have all their memories because Jean gave them all their memories back as well. So they all know about everything that happened with Crisis. And so she was talking to Kara was talking to Alex and sort of saying, well, the Lena now in this world is not going to know that stuff. So in a way, I've got a fresh start, but I don't want to repeat the mistakes. So I need to tell her the truth now. And Alex was kind of questioning whether or not she should go down that route and stuff like that. And she's like, no, we did this once before. We kept it from her and look how it all ended. Yeah. This is almost like a do-over. This is a fresh opportunity for me to be upfront with her and tell her the truth this time.
Mm.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, so we had Lena with Lex and he's so horrible still, isn't he?
Yes.
Still trying to turn her to his own advantage. Like, oh, you don't want to trust Kara.
Mm.
It's like, and she mentioned Leviathan and he had never heard of it.
That was interesting. Yeah, when she said about him. Yeah, because then we got the reveal that obviously Lex gave her her memories back. So even though they are under the impression that Lena doesn't remember anything, in fact, she remembers everything because Lex was able to... What was it with Lex? The reason he gave her memories back was through a drug, was like he gave her something.
Yeah, that, I'm not quite sure.
That sort of that brought her memories back. So as a result of him being a paragon, he's somehow been able to manufacture something that he gave to her that brought her memories back. So she knows about the world before Crisis 2. And yeah, she mentioned Leviathan and she said about him being a puppet. And he was like, what's Leviathan? And it was like, how does he not know about this organization, these aliens and stuff?
Mm, that was interesting, wasn't it? So then we went to Brainy and Nia chatting away. And
when they're going to get an ice cream or something.
Yeah, they were walking down the street or something. That's right. He said, he was like, he'd learned from not being overzealous with things because obviously last time she was like, no, just be normal.
Yeah.
And there was another Brainiac there.
Which was really weird. And he was dressed slightly differently. He had his hair tied back in a ponytail. And they were like, imposter. And they were like, and they both like arrested each other and said about taking each other in.
That was funny when they were trying to handcuff each other.
Yeah. Oh, it was great. I mean, this episode was very much a very Brainy centric episode.
It was. It was great.
So then he goes to the DEO. Well, they go to the DEO. And they're like saying about reporting an imposter and all of this stuff. And Alex is like, which one of you is my Brainy? And they're like, I am. No, I am. And all this stuff. And then this girl shows up and she's like, Agent Danvers, blah, 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 this, that and the other. And like, who are you? And she's like, I'm in charge of the DEO. I'm Special Agent Brainiac 5. And they're like, what? There's a girl version of him as well. What was interesting, too, that's his sister.
Oh, right.
The girl that played the female Brainy is actually Jesse Rath's real life sister, Megan.
Oh, wow.
So that was pretty cool.
But then there was other Brainiacs there, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was like an emo, mopey Brainy. And then there was another one. And then happened to one of them.
To one of them, yeah. He started disappearing. He goes, don't open the bottle. And just disappeared. It's like, what?
And he like died. And they said it turned out that it was something called, what was it called? The anti-life equation. Which is something from the comics. And it, in this world, like, because in the comics, I don't think it was designed to destroy like robots and AI and stuff. But in this version of the story, it is. It's like a virus that infects artificial life forms like them.
Yeah.
And he'd got this and stuff. And then they're really confused because they're like, where are all these Brainies from? And they're like, they're from other Earths that somehow got portaled like to our Earth after the events of Crisis. So somehow they all ended up here along with, so there's all these like doppelgangers from various different Earths, but they obviously don't have Earths to go back to anymore.
No.
Because the Earths, the versions of the multiverse they came from don't exist in this new version of the multiverse.
Right.
And that got further expanded upon when they went to the bar that they usually go to. Is it Owl's Bar?
Yes.
Is now two Owl's Bars smushed together. So you had two versions of the same guy behind the bar.
And they're witches from the other, from
the Kryptonian witches, yeah. But they're like just like low key, like trinket, like selling fortune teller type people. Read your palms, I'll give you this and all this kind of stuff. It's like, what the hell? It's all really bizarre. It's so strange. So that, again, that's a result of the Crisis stuff. They've been amalgamated from another reality. And it's almost like they're all like these weird refugees from other Earths that have somehow ended up here. And they're all like on our Earth now when they've got nowhere else to return to. They don't have a world to return to. So yes, you had this mystery of all the Brainies, and it was great getting to see him playing all these slightly different versions.
Characters, yeah.
And he was really out of sorts though, because he didn't seem to know what was going on and like the things they were talking about. He didn't know what the anti-life equation was. He didn't know. And they were like, why are you like this? Why don't you're supposed to be us. We're all supposed to be the same.
Yeah.
And then we got a reveal about him, didn't we? About he has the things that we've always just thought are part of him.
Inhibitors.
They're inhibitors. Yeah, he's got these three inhibitors on his head, because he's afraid of becoming something bad.
Yeah, and his father had put them on him, didn't they?
Yeah,
didn't
he? And then he told this story about when he was a kid, and it was, what was it, the first time he saw snow?
Yeah.
And he loved it so much that his mother, like, got it, like, got snow for him, and they're like, oh, that's really nice. And he's like, no, she bottled the whole planet.
Bottled the snow. Yeah.
And he was like, and then, because there's this thing, because, I mean, there's something you'll know about from watching Krypton, that's what Brainiacs do. They, like, they steal worlds and they bottle them up and stuff.
Yeah.
So this is something that the Brainiac, like, people, that's what they do. And so fearing that he would go down that path himself, that's why he got these inhibitors. So the father obviously wasn't a megalomaniac, but the mother clearly was.
Yeah.
So the father put these inhibitors on it to prevent his son from becoming that way. But the side effect was that he was no longer connected to the big brain, the kind of like central computer system that all the Brainiacs are like.
That girl told him that, didn't she? That woman, that other Brainiac 5.
Yeah, the female version, yeah.
That he told him he shouldn't be wearing them.
Mm. And she said, you're...
He said he was worried about what he'd become, didn't he, to like his friends, to Nia and everybody else. He said, what? It'll affect my relationships with everybody. So that's why he didn't want to take them off.
Yeah. So it was really sad. You felt really sad for Brainy.
Very sad, yeah.
The fact that he's like not been able to be himself truly, always living in fear that like, what if, and especially after what happened to him last year, when he did go a bit like Doolally, you know, they had that whole thing when it was him and Nia and they were trying to get people off world and he like kind of short-circuited and became all like evil
Brainiac. Yeah,
so he's obviously got this worry that like, oh, there's this element that's there in me. But then the rest of them are like, well, but we don't have inhibitors and we're not like that, so you don't have to be like that. But because of this, he was unable to see what was in front of him, which was who was actually behind all of this.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be one of the other Brainies.
Yeah, the other Brainy had stolen something. And it was agitated. Oh, it's because he'd bottled the planet or something, hadn't he?
Yeah. So before
all the souls in the planet,
before the crisis, like the antimatter wave had wiped out the multiverse he's from, he used the Brainiac like bottling technique to bottle his world and then escape to this Earth, to this universe. Yeah. And the idea he had was saving his world from the antimatter wave so that he could then release it from the bottle and it could exist again.
But that would have been catastrophic if he'd opened it.
Yeah, because they were like, if there were two of the same Earths in the same place, like it would destroy both planets.
Yeah, so that's why they weren't allowed to open it. Mm. Nia talked him around, didn't she? Because she sussed up what was wrong with him and told him to take the inhibitors off, didn't she?
Yeah.
He said that's the only way you can do and help.
Mm-hmm.
There was another little bit that we had. Lex had a meeting with Kara and Alex.
Yeah.
He wanted to offer them peace, but he was also fishing about Leviathan then, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was like, have we got any more news on Leviathan, what they've been up to recently and all of this kind of stuff? Like acting like he knew what he was talking about, but in reality it was him trying to find out information.
And there was also another thing. We had Andrea's college mentor turn up.
Who is the woman from Leviathan.
Mm.
The one, you know, talking the one that we saw in the bar.
The one that told the guy that she can do it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she was talking about Obsidian, wasn't she?
Mm, and saying about
becoming a virtual world.
Yeah. And about that we need to step up things and roll this out and stuff like that. So it's like, oh, so we thought the Leviathan thing was like dealt with for now, but
there's
clearly still going to be a threat even in this new reality.
And even though Andrea was taken over by them, she's now not, but she's working with them in a way, isn't she?
Yeah, but I don't think she knows who this woman is, really.
That's what I meant. Without her realising it, she's doing, if she goes along with her, they're getting their own way anyway, aren't they?
Yeah.
And the other thing was, what's the other thing?
The mum. The mum has got her memory back too.
Yes.
Lillian.
So we went to Luther Foundation and mummy was there.
Ah.
And Belina still wants to complete her idea about the, you know, what was it about? Keeping people good or something.
Yeah.
The core thing. But her mum suggests she works with Lex.
Yeah, that's right. Because there was also a little small scene where Supergirl did go and see Lena. And Lena was basically like, oh, you've come here to tell me all the stuff. I already know. I know about this. I remember that when this happened, the crisis and this. And she's like, oh. And then she was like, you know, about putting stuff behind them and that they could work together in this new world to create something good and stuff like that. So she sort of planted the seed of like, work with me, don't work with your brother. But then the mother was like, I think you should work with your brother. And then you had the, did you have the thing later on where it was like the mother talking to Lex and basically saying they had basically worked together to get Lena on side with Lex or something. So it was all a big like plot.
Yeah, they just obviously worked it so they'd...
It's like she was leaning towards the Kryptonian, but I managed to sway her back in our direction sort of thing.
He's her best bet, apparently.
Yeah.
Working with him. So then we went back to the Brainiac bit and we found out that the guy with the bottle had gone to get the witches to help him.
And they were going to use their magic to... Because they said there was only one device that would allow it to be opened, but that device had been destroyed. So the only other way was obviously to use their magic. So they had to go to Al's bar. And then they were saying about the only way that he could be properly stopped would be Brainy would have to allow himself to be himself.
Brainy, yeah.
And so he took off the inhibitors, didn't he?
Yeah, and it made him super brainier.
And he became green.
Yes.
Like they're supposed to look. Because that's one of the things, like when you look at like the Brainiac from the comics, but also from the way he was in Krypton and stuff, he was green skinned. Yeah. And this Brainiac has been like a pale blue skin.
Yeah.
But then this now he's got like blonde, long blonde hair and green skin and stuff like that. And it allowed him to be more himself because he could tap into the big brain. He could use different powers and he could computate a solution out of the problem and all of this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And he was the hero, wasn't he? He like saved the day, really.
Well, yeah, there was a fight, wasn't there? But then he took down the other guy and said to him that they needed to keep it in the bottle, wait for a safe place to open it. And then the witches also agreed with it, didn't they? They said,
we'll wait with you.
And they all went into the bottle, didn't they?
Yeah, because he did something, didn't he? And then they all like turned into like energy almost. And they like went through the glass and into obviously the earth that is within this bottle, waiting for the day that they can safely open it somewhere.
Yeah.
So Brainy embraced his true self and saved the day. And then you had like the other Brainies went off. Like, and they said they were all going to join. Their work was done. They didn't have a world to return to. So they were going to do the thing that is only natural for their kind, which is to become one with the big brain.
Yeah.
So and it means them removing their things. And they put them all on him, didn't they? They like said, like you're the one true Brainiac now kind of thing.
And before the girl went,
she told him something.
Yeah, she told him that Lex is trying to find out about Leviathan and he needs to work with him and give everyone up till it's done.
Because she said, on my world, I did, you know, I fought against Lex Luthor and I didn't help him. And as a result, you know, it was a catastrophe and like Leviathan basically took control and all of this kind of stuff. So you need to work with Lex to bring them down, but you can't tell anybody. No. You've got to cut yourself off because you'd be putting them all in danger and they might try and stop you because of the fact that Lex Luthor is a villain. So you've got to operate in secret. And as a result, it means that you can't be tied to anything. So he went and broke up with Neo.
No, that was so sad.
Yeah.
That was sad, wasn't it? And then he went to see her to do that. But before we saw him finish that bit, we had a press conference, which when Lena had decided to reveal that she is now working with Lex.
Yeah.
But that English guy, what was his name again?
Oh, yes, the reporter. I want to say it's Malcolm something. Is it Malcolm?
No. I don't know what his name is. But him.
Yeah, he was there.
He told Kara that he doesn't trust him.
Yeah.
And he still thinks there's something else going on.
Mm-hmm.
And Mummy's involved as well, isn't she? She was there. So now Kara's got a doubt in her mind about it all, which is good.
Yeah.
Obviously that was that bit. But then we've got Brainy went to see Lex to offer him his assistance regarding Leviathan. And I put, who was that picture of?
Wynn.
It was, wasn't it?
Yep.
I thought I recognised that face. Who was that? Oh.
Because he said, we have got another exile that's just arrived here on our Earth. And he's like, somebody that could have information and could be very useful to us. So we need to locate him. And he showed him the picture and it was Wynn. And it's like, oh my God, the last time we saw him, he headed off into the future with Mon-El and the rest of the Legion. So is it that win? Is it win from another Earth? Is, you know, it's like, what, there's so many questions now about what version of win is this going to be? And what does Lex want or need him for?
So, yes.
Well, I presume it's from the future, because he's been in the future. It's going to be something to do with, like, his, what he needs to know about Leviathan or whatever. But it's like, So it's interesting that they're bringing Wynn back in, whether it's just a one-off or whether he's coming back. Because we heard, didn't we, ages ago, do you remember when he left the show and it was like, they confirmed that he was going to be returning at some point in the future. But I don't know whether it's a permanent return, whether it's a guest star thing.
Well, they buddies him and Brainiac, weren't they?
Yeah, because he basically, Brainiac took his place, didn't he?
Yeah.
Brainiac became, he was the Wynn of, like, Wynn was what Brainiac is now. He was the, like, the tech guy, the support guy, the comic relief. And then obviously Brainiac came into it. Them two worked together. They got on really well. And then he was confident in, like, you know, you're the best person to take over from me. And I'm now going to go into the future with your friends and help them, sort of thing.
So going forward, well, I mean, how's that going to affect Brainiac with Supergirl and the DEO? And has he got to, like, cut all? But he's got to be there, hasn't he? Because obviously Lex is the DEO. So it's going to be very interesting how they're going to work this thing with Brainiac.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about watching it again.
Yeah, definitely.
Very good. Still keeping up the good script writing, Supergirl was. So I was really pleased that even after all the, you know, the crisis and everything, it still came back. Although last week's, you know, the other day was a bit weird.
Yeah.
But this one is like more back on track now again, isn't it?
Yep.
It's like, So yes, good.
Yeah. Now we move on to the final show, and we've left, in my opinion, the best till last. This program continues to be the most entertaining, wacky comic book show, and it knows it's a comic book show on television. And that was the proper return of Legends of Tomorrow. And I say the proper return because obviously last week's one was part of the crisis. So this is their first proper standalone episode.
Yeah.
And it was called Meet the Legends.
Yeah. You can talk. You can start this one.
Oh, my God. Where do I begin? So basically it was like a voiceover narration. And it was like talking about the Legends of Tomorrow and showing all these things and showing them on the news and showing them at the Oscars, I think, or something.
Yeah.
Showing them at a sports game where Obama was there and stuff. Showing their fact that they've got like Funko Pop figures of them, that they're on the cover of magazines, and basically they're famous. They are very famous now, not because of Crisis. They're famous for what they did last year with the thing with the like stopping the demons from invading Earth and all of this kind of stuff. So they've become celebrities.
And also the reason they're famous is, and they're this is like a documentary about them. Is based on Ava. That's her name.
Ava. Yeah, Ava Sharp.
She was. She got interviewed by the Time Bureau people, and they wanted documented that they do. Because you know, obviously, they've done some lots of underhand stuff, haven't they?
Yeah.
And in order to fund it, they had to do this, didn't they? They had to agree to this camera following reality type TV show.
Yeah. Well, she thought it would be a good publicity thing to show how good the Legends are. And to basically allow them to have their funding so that they can continue policing time and space.
Yeah.
Because obviously they were going to have all their funding pulled. So, yeah. So they decided to do this documentary, this fly on the wall documentary to let the world meet the Legends and get them the money they needed so that they could just carry on doing saving the world, basically.
Yeah. So it's good because we saw everybody, didn't we?
Yeah.
Nate had was left behind. Obviously, he didn't go on the crisis because he had that near-death experience, didn't he, at the end of previous season.
Yeah.
We had the new guy, the ship technician, who is the brother of the girl. What was her name?
Zari.
Zari's brother.
Yeah, what's his name?
Berard or something.
Or B, as they call him.
Yeah. Yep. We also had Charlie, who's the shapeshifter.
Yeah, we didn't see Charlie very much. We'll talk about Charlie quickly because Charlie was her usual crazy, like, you know, Londoner, like, you know, oh, a punk rocker type thing. And she was like saying, oh, I just want to go out and get wasted and I'm going to get wankered and I'm going to go and steal the I'm going to steal the shuttle and just go off for a joyride and all this kind of stuff. She's like, all of the stuff that's been going on around here, I need to get out of here. And so she just like went and just like stole the little shuttle and just like disappeared. And we didn't see her again for the rest of the episode.
I don't think we did, no. And
B was sat in his room like smoking weed. He had a big, he had a bong and stuff, and he's there smoking that. And they come in to film, and he was like, "Oh, sorry." And he like used his powers, like his totem powers, to create wind to like get rid of all the smoke and stuff like that. And Nate was doing like adverts or so. I don't know what he was doing. What was Nate doing? He was like going, you know, like with his hair and all this stuff, and going, "Yeah, you know, being a celebrity is really difficult. You're being a role model and all this kind of stuff." And they said something to work. Was it when the camera crew or something? He was like, "Can I have your hat?" And so, you know, all this kind of stuff. And just being like a real, like, as they would say, like in America, a douchebag. He was kind of like, hey, yeah, I'm a cheesy famous person now. Ding.
We also had Mona Wu telling them about her wolf thing.
Yes. And also, not only is she a werewolf, but she's also the agent for Rebecca Silver.
Yeah.
Who is Mick.
Rebecca's books and films, apparently.
Yes. And she does all the negotiating. And you see a bit of her on the phone. And because she's not getting her way, she goes all werewolf and she's like, I'll come over there and rip your throat out and all this kind of stuff. And then she's like, thank you. Yeah, that's lovely. Thank you for agreeing to our terms and all of it.
And we had Gary Green, who's Constantine's apprentice.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, because of the events again last year.
The thing about Nora.
And then because of Nora, that she put in a word for him. And now he's now apprentice to Mage Extraordinaire John Constantine. And so they were doing the demonic possession.
And then we have Sarah arriving back from the crisis with Ray and who else?
Mick.
With Mick.
Yeah.
Didn't know anything about the documentary, and there's a surprise party for her. She was not happy about it at all, was she?
Because that was the thing, because they asked Eva that, didn't they? They sort of said, oh, so, you know, she said, yeah, my girlfriend doesn't know anything about this. And she said she's been away dealing with the thing, she's been on another mission. And then you got again references to like the crossover and like, yeah, there was a crossover, and so things always get a bit crazy when there's a crossover, when not all of us are ever invited to the crossover. Sometimes they don't invite any of us to the crossover. But then like these three had to go off and deal with this crisis and all of this, you know. So all this like knowing, winking, like, we're gonna talk out of the, we're gonna break the fourth wall and talk to you about stuff.
We had Mick wreck the camera.
Yeah, because when they came back to the ship, yeah, so they said about her not knowing about the documentary. How's she going to feel? Yeah, she's probably not going to be too keen, but, like, you know, I thought we could frame it in a way and we'll surprise her, and that's why they had the surprise party. But then it was like, oh, this isn't a good idea because of what happened with Oliver. But then they all made the decision of, like, let's not talk about it, because she's not going to want to be reminded of the fact that she's just lost her best friend. Right. So we'll just avoid it and we'll just carry on as normal, and we'll, you know, because that's probably what she'd want and she wouldn't want a fuss made, and we'll just carry on. So we're going to have this documentary. And yeah, like you said, Mick was annoyed because he was looking for alcohol and the camera crew were just in his way. So he just like punched the camera and stuff.
But Ray was happy to talk to them because he was trying to explain he's not the baddie anymore.
Yeah. And he was on about how people react to him, because he was like, last year I was overtaken by a demonic entity, but that wasn't me. And now, unfortunately, people are always looking at me that way. So this will be great for me because I can show people that that wasn't me. And then he's like working on all these catchphrases throughout the episode about shrinking, like puns to do with atoms and shrinking and all of this kind of embiggen and, you know, all this kind of thing. Oh my God. It was so funny.
It was hilarious. And then obviously then they had a crisis on the hands. Because Gideon had a virus and there was a time quake.
And Gideon kept saying all these nonsense words, like something about the hamster and all of this lot. And later on, Sarah later on, was she was calling her Captain Cat.
Yeah.
Over and over, she just kept going, Captain Cat, Captain Cat, Captain Cat. There appears to be a hamster in our wormhole stream and all this stuff. And they're like, what's wrong with Gideon? They're like, I don't know. Like, something seems to have, like, short-circuited her. There seems to be some kind of bug in her system.
Yeah.
But yeah, they got it was an anomaly, wasn't it?
Yeah. So it jumped them to Imperial Russia.
Yes, and it was to do with Rasputin, the mad monk.
Rah, rah, Rasputin. Da, 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 da.
So yes, Rasputin somehow, like, there was an incident with him, and they're like, well, we need to go and investigate. And they did the thing to camera, and he's like, it's a little known fact that Rasputin was poisoned, he was stabbed, he was thrown in the river, and all of this kind of stuff. Like, trying to, that was Nate, wasn't it? Showing, yeah. I'm a historian, yeah, and I know all of this stuff.
So they go in there and take the camera crew with them.
Yeah, and they're like, we're going to, you know, and they're like, this is amazing. We're going to get the first color on camera images of Imperial Russia. And it's all to do with the Romanov family and Rasputin. And they're there for Rasputin's funeral. And in the coffin, and he broke out of the coffin and came back to life again.
Yeah.
And they're like, so what the hell's going on?
It was either class as an evil do-over or an encore.
Yeah,
or an encore. They couldn't work out which one was the one they were going to use.
Uh-huh.
So we then went off to New York with Constantine and Gary.
Yeah.
On the job of a possession with a boy had been possessed.
Mm-hmm.
And Constantine could get his head around, like, who has matching PJ sets anymore? Yeah.
Gary's like, I do.
So that was quite funny, because obviously that was their job to get this
demon out. But then the demon knew Constantine.
Yeah, turned out it was one of his mates.
Yeah, and so he's like, hey, let's go and get a drink. And he's like, yeah. And then Gary's like, but what about the mother? And it's, oh, yeah, that's a good idea, mate. Good call. And he's like, we'll go out the fire escape.
They took the child to the bar, like it's a child in a bar, and they got kicked out onto the fire escape, didn't they? Because he said, you can't have children in here. And he started asking him about Astral, wasn't he?
Yes, and he said why he was there, and he said, oh, have you not heard? And he said, oh, it's all gone, all this stuff. And he said, is Astra, you know, throwing her weight around? And he's like, yeah, she's basically trying to gain control, and she's got all the chips that she got last season of all of the famous killers and diabolical people from history.
Yeah.
And that's basically, like, why Rasputin's back. But the crew don't know this at the moment. We know this because Constantine's discovered that this is the case.
Yeah.
And he's like, we need to let the others know. So he's like, sorry, mate, it's been fun, but I have to send you back. And he does the exorcism and then sends the demon back to hell.
Yeah.
And then Gary's like, come on, Gary, we've got to go and warn the others. And he's like, what are we going to do about the boy? And he's like, use your thing. And he's like, okay, here's a lollipop and your cab fare home. So he's like, how many times have they done this?
Yeah. So we had our heroes with Rasputin's base, and he was trying. There was the sympathy card saga with Ava and B.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What can we do to, like? Yeah, we'll do a sympathy card for her.
Yeah.
And he drew her a picture.
Yeah. This
and he's
better.
Like, and it was really nice. It was this really cute little cartoon picture. And he said, and she's like, "What's this?" And he's like, "It's you, Oliver, and Laurel."
Yeah.
And she's like, B, this is so nice and stuff. And he said, I thought about going down the route of a sympathy card, but, you know, and she said, oh, I'm glad you didn't. I hate those things.
Ava
overheard. And she was like, oh, and then she said, did again, talking to the documentary crew. And she was like, no, I thought I was doing the right thing. You know, I didn't go too mushy in mine. You know, I just wanted to say honestly how I felt. And she read it out and she's like, dear Sarah, I'm really sorry about the loss of your boyfriend, ex-boyfriend, friend who slept with your sister. And blah, 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 and was a vigilante that somehow became a supernatural entity that died saving the universe, blah, 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 and all this stuff.
Just as well, she didn't give her that one.
Yeah. And then it was that whole thing again, the running joke about Ava not really under, because obviously, like, because it came up, that was the other thing, the people at home that haven't seen this. When it got each one of them on camera, it said their name and it had descriptions. So, like, with Mona, it was like, Mona, whatever her name is. And it was like, lycanthrope, agent, and all of this art. And, like, with her, it was like, head of the Time Bureau, clone, and stuff like this, you know. And it's like all these little descriptive things about them. And it's that thing about how, because she's a clone and because she grew up in a very cold environment, she's a bit, like, she doesn't quite understand emotions sometimes, and she doesn't know the right thing to say in the right moment, and she's a bit awkward. And they said something about on her the Time Bureau report, and it said Agent Green, is it Ava Green?
No, Gary's Gary Green.
Oh, yes, Gary Green. What's her name? Ava,
I can't remember
now, but it's like Agent whatever. It's like Sharp, Ava Sharp.
Sharp.
Agent Sharp is unable to connect with people. She does not seem to understand this, that, and the other, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, that was my report. That was written by me. And she's oh, so it's just these little things. They, like, it's just so much funny stuff is crammed in here. Send me these little moments. Like Ray talking about when he was sharing his stories of the crisis stuff and about meeting Superman. And then he did the pose and he went, he's rather handsome. And it's like, you're referring to the you Superman. You're not on about other Superman and all this kind of, oh, so funny. But yes, anyway, so back to the story.
They worked out Rasputin had revenge on his mind.
Yes.
And they wanted to interview him, didn't he?
Yeah.
But Ava was what? She was going to kill him, wasn't she? But he got Mini Ray to stop her.
Yeah.
So he went into the gun.
That was great. Yeah, because they decided, again, because of everything Sarah's dealing with, we're going to deal with this and we're going to show her that we can do, you know, if they can go off and do all this crisis stuff, we can do stuff ourselves. So we're going to go. But unfortunately, they all had a different plan. So Ava wanted to assassinate him. Then Mona wanted to write a love letter that was going to try and, because they found out that there was an affair that had gone on between the Tsaress and Rasputin, and that they could resolve all this by doing this love letter and all of this kind of stuff. So then Mick intercepted her and was like, written. He's like, this isn't bad writing. I like the way the use of the word, blah, blah, you know, this, that, and the other. And he was like complimenting and critiquing her note writing skill. Yeah. And then Nate wanted to interview him. Yeah. And he was like, I want to speak to him. I want to find out if he's returned from the dead. How did he do it? And all of this kind of stuff. So he pretended he was a journalist.
And it, all the while, Ava's on the top waiting to take a shot with him.
Yeah.
So he's out of the way. I want to take the shot. And he didn't want him to shoot him because he was getting into this chat with him. So he got Ray to go and zoom into the gun so she couldn't fire the gun.
I know.
Because he was talking about the love of his life, wasn't he? And he says, I had somebody once.
He didn't say that. He was talking to Rasputin about it. And then he said, I sense you are kindred spirit. You too have loved someone you have lost. And he was like, have I? And he's like, I feel maybe, but I can't remember.
Yeah, that's what
and
I mean.
Then he's like, and then he said, I will help you remember. And he had this talisman.
Yeah.
And then, and this is where this is going to be a big plot point, I think, for the series. He started pulling memories from him. And he was like, he started, like, in his mind, he was seeing this woman and she was becoming clearer in front of him and he could see her hair and stuff like that. But before she could turn to face him properly and stuff, they disrupted it, didn't they? Because they were like, no, you know, he can't find out about this thing. You know, he can't get that. This is something, you know, that we rewrote history and that's why B is there and she's not. So. Yeah. It will like screw things up. It might undo what they did, sort of thing.
Yeah. Was that when they got an incoming Bollywood via Gideon?
An incoming Bollywood.
Yeah. It was Constantine warning Sarah about Rasputin.
Yes. And about that he can't just be killed like normally because his chip is still cashed in. So that's how he's able to like, he's a hell being now. So you can't just kill it. It's not just a simple case of killing him and all of this kind of stuff. So then Sarah got really cross with them all because they'd all gone off.
Well, yeah, because originally we had Ava took the shot, but he survived it. And it was a massive fight. And then Sarah turned up, was really fuming. The team had gone without telling her and asking.
And she basically got them all out, took them all back, didn't she? And gave them all a telling off. And then this was where it went from wacky comedy, crazy historical figures, time travel stuff. And then you got the emotion side of it.
Mm.
Because then she was like angry at them and they were like, we're sorry. We thought we were doing the right thing. And she's like, everything that I've been through. And she's like, you put yourselves at risk. And she said, not one of you, my best friends, asked me how I was, asked me what I've dealt with. And then Ava was like, that was my fault. I told them not to. And she's like, why the hell would you do that? And she's like, because I didn't want it to keep reminding you because I thought it would hurt you. And she's like, yeah. She said, I just lost one of my best friends. Do you realize what I went through? And then they're like, no. And she's like, I saw the destruction of every reality. I traveled back to the dawn of creation. I saw a new universe being born. I saw everything changing, blah, blah, blah. Do you know how that? And they were like, we can't possibly imagine what that must have been like. And all I wanted was to have my friends around me to be able to talk to. And then it was like, and it was really like, wow. Like, you know, that's what's so great about this show. They can do all this stupid, crazy, wacky nods to the camera. We know we're a comic book show, all of that kind of stuff. But then they could do stuff like that. Really good character drama moments.
Yeah, indeed.
And she just looked so broken, didn't she?
Well, they had to have something like that, considering it was so wacky.
Yeah.
Had to have like a reality check what would happen to her.
Mm-hmm.
She just got thrown in the mix as soon as she got back, didn't she, because of this thing?
Yeah.
But the fact that they weren't, because they hadn't had her there and forgot what they were thinking, oh, we'll help. They probably thought they were doing the right thing by like, keep her out of it, leave her alone. We don't know what to say.
Yeah.
But obviously, to her, she'd rather them said something.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so go on then. So we had the Rasputin, what happened? They had, the Rasputin took the documentary director, didn't he?
Yeah, so then they discovered, unfortunately, they'd left the director behind and he was like, hello, is this on? And they're like, oh my, what's happened? And she's like, what have you done? And they're like, oh no, we left behind Kevin or whatever his name is. And she's like, oh, I'm going to have to deal with this myself. And she's like, right, I'm taking charge of this mission. We're going to sort this out. We're going to, you know, get it all dealt with. And then they discover, obviously, that Rasputin's plan is inviting the Romanovs over for dinner. And he's going to kill them all.
Mm.
So they have to stop it. So then they go undercover. So Sarah is like a maid, like a serving girl.
Yeah.
And B, who's the only other person she feels. Oh, yeah, because they were going to get, that's right, because they were going to go off and get stoned and stuff, weren't they?
Yeah.
Because he was like, should I get my stash tin? And she's like, that's a great idea. And all this lot. And then that's when they got the message from Constantine. And that was when she was like, I need to take care. And she was like, we're going to have to hold off on that celebration, B. And she's like, we need to deal with something. And you're the only person I can trust because all the rest of these screw ups, you know. And he's like, okay, no problem. And it's interesting as well, the fact that this guy has only just come into existence. But
she seems to have a good relationship with him.
Well, yeah, because they, as far as they're aware, he's always been part of the team.
Yeah.
So you've got this really deep connection there. And so she's like, you're with me. So he became what is it they were called in the Russian? Is it Hussars, the Russian soldiers?
Maybe.
Something like that. Anyway, but he's like one of them. She's a serving girl. And so they're going to try and deal with it themselves. But then it all went wrong, didn't it? Because he had some kind of magic power.
Yeah.
Although she stopped them from eating the poisonous cakes.
Wasn't that bit, did they also get Ava to dress, pretend she was Anastasia coming down?
No. No, this was the other part of the plan. So when they the rest of them realized that Sarah and Behrad had gone off on their own to deal with this, they were like, you know, oh, we should leave her to deal with it. And she was like, no, we made that mistake already. We've already made that mistake of leaving her to deal with it. And that was the wrong call. So this time
it was in cookies or something, wasn't it? The poison.
Tea cakes.
That's it.
But she was like, we need to be there for her this time. So we're all going too. So they all went after the fact. And that's when the unexpected second half of the plan came into play because Sarah stopped them all from eating the tea cakes. She got them out, like, to try and get them out of there. But then Rasputin stopped them. He then created some kind of magic that took control of them all. Mm. And then he's like, oh, what are you going to do now, serving girl? And then you had an announcement announcing the Princess Anastasia. And they look up and they're like, what? She's not supposed to be here. And then she pulled back the veil and it was Ava. And it's like, and she threw a knife or something, which was really cool. And then Sarah looked really pleased to see her because that was, Sarah didn't know this. This wasn't part of her plan.
No.
This was them coming to the rescue. So then they all show up and then you have a big fight then between all his soldiers and all of them.
And while they were having the fight, the two of them having a girly chat. Sarah and Ava. Oh.
Behind you, punch. I'm sorry, I didn't blah, 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 this, that, and the other. You know I'm not good with emotions. Okay, duck, bang. And even when they went in for a smooch, they then got interrupted and they're like, boom, there were two guys either side of them, weren't there?
They kicked them or something. It's so funny.
And then they went in for a kiss and then Ray came running in. Yeah. And then Ray came and he was like, I'm sorry to interrupt you guys. And he's like, but we've got a bit of a problem.
And that was because he'd possessed Mick, Mona and Nate.
Yeah.
And then they decided to fire Ray into him.
That was brilliant. Yeah, because Ray got knocked out. So Ray got knocked out and shrunk down to tiny size. So they thought on their feet. And then they were like, unconscious Ray got like shot towards him and it went in his mouth. And then Ray woke up and he's like, where am I? Why does it smell funny in here? What's going on? And they're like, Ray, you need to get big right now. And he's asking all these questions. Ray, stop asking questions. Just grow big and all this stuff. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he was like, and then he said, embiggen. And he grew up and then he's like really happy with himself. And then he realized he was covered in blood and guts because he'd exploded.
Rasputin. And they shouted to the director, did you get the shot, Kevin?
And he was all covered in blood. And he's like, yeah, I got it, thanks.
They collected him up in many jars. They said, we need to keep him. We can't leave him around because he's dangerous. Of every form, he has to be separated.
And you had like an eyeball in one and like...
Yeah, or utility jar. So it was a jam jar, a pickle jar.
Yeah.
Anything you've got jars of, they used. And then they said, we used all the things from the cupboard to put bits of your Rasputin in.
Uh-huh. And then John showed up back up again, didn't he, Constantine? So Constantine shows...
Before that, it ended. It said the show was a success and he wanted to make a series. And they wanted to have a question and answer with Meet the Legends. And they wanted them to go out and talk to the crowd about the show they just watched. And they started telling them, oh, it's not real. Yeah, that didn't really happen. We just made it all up.
Yeah, because he got really arsey with them, didn't he, the director? And he was basically like, this is a hit and now you belong to me and I'm going to carry on doing it. And they're like, no, this was supposed to be a one-off thing. So they decided to derail it all. So he's like, just be the best versions of yourselves and come out for this Q&A. Yeah. And then they're all going, of course, you know, it's all special effects, you know. And then again, them making fun of themselves, of the actual Legends of Tomorrow show, because they're going, you know, storylines that don't always make sense, that are probably quite hard for people at home to follow sometimes.
Exactly.
Inconsistencies in the storytelling and real jumps of logic that you just have to go with because it's just silly fun. Sometimes the special effects are a little bit wonky and aren't always the best, but you know, and all this kind of stuff. And they're like going, these are all reasons why you can tell it's not a real show. It wasn't a documentary. It was all faked and stuff like that. Yeah, and I just thought, these are all the things that are said about Legends of Tomorrow sometimes.
Yeah. I just walked off the thing. So they showed them back at the Wave Rider.
Yeah.
And they were on about, they needed money for something.
Well, they couldn't carry on because they had their funding pooled.
Oh, because they weren't going to do the show anymore. The Time Bureau would pull the funding, so they need some money. And Mick came up with a solution.
And they said, luckily we have a Mick Rory. And she's like, Mick, hand it over. And he's like, ugh. And he pulled out this thing from his pocket and handed it. And they're like, is this a Fabergé egg? Like, how much is that worth? Probably about, was it like $50 million or something? And she dropped it. And then luckily Sarah caught it. And she's like, oh, I'm really sorry. So it's like, we don't need to worry about funding anytime soon.
And then Constantine popped in.
Yeah, he comes rushing in. And she's like, John, you're back. Nice to see you. And he's like, no time, love. And he went into the room with all the jars, looked through them all, grabbed one, opened it. They're like, John, what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. And he just necked it. And they're like, John, you don't want to do it. And he drank a jar of Rasputin's blood. Yeah.
They said he had to do an exorcism of souls and he was going back to hell.
So he made a circle and he went in the middle of it and he said, I need to take care of this. I need to work out what's actually going on and what we're up against. And he's like, what did he say? I'll return once the sigil is complete or something.
Yeah.
And then he sort of did his like, omine, omine, you know, like chanting Latin or whatever it is. The circle set up like blue fire and then he was gone.
Yep. Then we had Mick and Mona and he was going to hand his Rebecca novel writing to her because after that letter she wrote.
Yeah.
He said that she'd be better doing it than him. Mm. But then she said, but she's so great. I'm going to leave. She's leaving the Wave Rider to do it.
Yeah, she's basically going to be
Rebecca
Silver.
He's got a writer's block because since he's been on the Wave Rider, she said it'd be better.
But she had all these ideas.
Yeah.
And she's like, that would be even better because if I'm out in the world, I can get real life inspiration and that can help me write better stories and all of this stuff. So, yeah, so that's it then. So Mona's gone. So Mona's not
But he was her favourite, apparently.
Oh, yeah, she gave him a hug and stuff. And he sort of stood there and he's like,
Because you're my favourite.
And then the final bit, we got picking up on the fact that Gideon had a bug.
Yes.
And the reason Gideon had a bug in her system was something to do with overlapping timelines.
Yeah.
And it was to do with what they did at Hayworld last year.
Yeah.
That something had happened and there's a corruption in my system and they're filtering through it. They're trying to work out what's going on. And so Nate's trying to get to the bottom of all of this and he's watching through all this footage and it's them at the end celebrating and they're giving Berard a hug and they're going, yay, we did it. But then he starts glitching and he glitches and he becomes Zari.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? And then at the same time that happens, all the power goes off and then this projection appears.
Yeah, so like a hologram.
Yeah, and it's Zari. And she's like, Nate, I'm sending this message to you that I've previously recorded. If you're reading this, it means that we rewrote things and changed history. And as a result, I'm no longer part of the team. You probably don't even know who I am or where I am. And she's like, but you have to find me. Find me, Nate. But it was almost like the help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope. Yeah. Like, find me, Nate. You're my only hope or something. And it's like, oh, man.
I know, that's what I thought. Because I want to get to know this new guy.
Yeah, so that's what's that going to mean? Is he going to like get taken away again, or is this because they're going to find Zari, but it's like she's not going to know who any of them are because the reality was changed for her and she never met them, you know?
So they can have her with him.
Yeah, so they can have both of them, yeah.
And maybe that's going to be the longevity of the series, to see finding her at the end of it at some point.
Yeah.
Throughout the series. But yeah, it was hilarious.
Mm.
It was just so funny.
It was brilliant. It's just, like I said, so much bonkers off-the-wall comedy and so much real comic booky, you know, just wacky out there over-the-top stuff, but done with a nod and a wink. And and then you get the emotional impact comes through as well with that, you know, the really heartfelt, like the gravity of, you know, this is all fun and games, but think about what just happened, you know, what I've been through, what I've seen and all that kind of stuff. And then it gets back to the, oh, and here's the overarching story. So we're still following up this thing with historical figures being released from hell and that threat. But then also the thing to do with Zari and how they changed history and all of that thing. Mm. But also, what does it mean? Like, are we going to get, I assume we're going to get some new members on the team now? Because that's the thing with Legends, what's always been really good is they have a kind of rotating roster, don't they?
Yes.
Really, the only people now that are part of the original squad, if you go back to series one, is Mick, Sarah, and Ray.
Yeah.
That's it. Everyone else is new. I mean, they're not new now, but they've all come in over time. So it's the kind of show that they're able to bring in new people and new legends to join the squad.
And is Charlie and coming back to it, or was that her gone off?
I don't know. Yeah, that's the other thing.
She wasn't at the end either, was she?
No, so I don't know what the deal is with Charlie.
They might need a couple of people.
Hmm.
We'll have to wait and see. I love the program. You never know what they're going to bring us next.
Yeah.
Yes, very good.
So it was just, it was brilliant. Really, really enjoyed it. Really, really good. There we go. So that's our reviews of this week. Let us know what you thought. Like I said at the beginning, go in the comments if you're on YouTube. If you're not on YouTube and you've got a way to leave us comments, reviews, feedback on the podcast platform that you're listening to us on, then leave us something on there or contact me on Twitter or get in touch, you know, by leaving comments on the video, you know, by coming over to the YouTube channel. Because I mean, I'd love that as well. I love if people are discovering us on podcast platforms that haven't ever seen my YouTube channel, then it'll be great if you could come and check out the YouTube channel as well. That would really, really be good. It'd be great to get some new, new subscribers and stuff, people coming to join the Geekdom off the back of hearing this podcast. So also don't forget to give us a like and also subscribe to the channel, as I mentioned. Check out the description box for all of the links to things that I mentioned at the beginning so that you can help support the channel and the podcast and everything financially through Patreon or Ko-fi. You can contact me via Twitter, which is twitter.com/geekdom78, and it's capital G, capital D, but all one word. And the Merch Dom. Go and check out the Merch Dom, and you can buy yourself a Geek Mom t-shirt, or you can buy yourself a Geek Dom hoodie, or something like that. Show your fandom for us, if that exists. And yeah, that's pretty much it, Mum, isn't it? That's it. Yeah. Year one done.
Yeah.
Talking TV with my mum, year one is complete. So now we move.
Yes, birthday's over. Now straight forward for another exciting year.
Yes.
We have so many other things coming up in the next year.
We do indeed.
Things coming back, things that we haven't talked about for 2 years.
Yep.
Like Westworld.
Yeah.
And who knows what else will come on the
Walking
radar.
Dead as well.
Yeah.
And we'll have, obviously, we won't have any Flash next week either, because Flash is not back until the beginning of February. So we've got a few weeks left until we get a new episode of The Flash to talk about.
That'd be when the Arrow would be finished, won't it?
Well, Arrow finishes this coming week. So
yeah, so next the week we come back, when Flash comes back, we will have Arrow anyway.
Yeah, so the Arrow will have gone, but Flash will return.
Flash will replace Arrow, yeah.
So yeah. But yeah, so next week we bid farewell to the show that kicked off the Arrowverse. We get the very last episode of Arrow. So it's going to be interesting to see how they do the finale.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that.
But yes, that's a conversation for next week. So thank you very much again for joining me today, Mum.
It's all right. My pleasure.
And I look forward to us having another chat about these things next week.
Aye.
So you all take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye, 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 bye.